Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host of Spiritual Hollywood. And before I say one more thing, I want to thank BBS Radio, Don Newsom, Douglas Newsom, and Seth Hendrick for providing such a wonderful platform to impact the world and raise consciousness, one person at a time, one show at a time. And speaking of impacting the world, I'm incredibly honored and pleased to bring to you this evening two family law leaders and visionaries, which is William A. Eddy, LCSW Esquire, and we will refer to William as Bill with his permission. And we also have Tobias Desjardins, who we will refer to as Toby with his permission. And Tobias is a, he's the founder of whatiscoparenting.com, and is, you will learn as you listen to this interview all the wonderful things that he has going on, as well as working in tandem with Bill Eddy, who is the author of many fine books, one of which completely sent me over the moon. One book I'm speaking of, and there are many, is High Conflict People in Legal Disputes. Now, why would that appeal to me so much? You will find out. Just stay tuned. And the website for Bill Eddy is www.highconflictinstitute.com. That's www.highconflictinstitute.com. And the website for Tobias Desjardins is www.whatiscoparenting.com. There's no hyphen there, and I'll spell that for you. www.whatiscoparenting.com. Now, hang on to your seats, because we got some free giveaways for you tonight. We have the author of, as William Eddy is the author of these fine books. We're offering these out to the first five callers, along with a special surprise. The first book is It's All Your Fault, 12 Tips for Managing People Who Blame Others for Everything. I love that title. The next one, again, is another one I love, High Conflict People in Legal Disputes. And the third one is Splitting, Protecting Yourself When Divorcing a Borderline or Narcissist. We are in for a fun interview, ladies and gentlemen. And what will also be included with the five callers, the five first callers who call in will receive one of these books. You can choose which one you want. And Bill is wanting to throw in one of his wonderful It's Not About You coffee mugs. And those are amazing. And the people who get it, buy them. And the people who buy them, get it. So if you call in and you're one of the five callers, you will get it, and you won't have to buy it. So I will read to you a little bit of the bios of these two fine gentlemen who are joining us this evening. And I'll start with Bill Eddy, and he has the High Conflict Institute. Bill Eddy is president and co-founder of High Conflict Institute based on his work as an attorney, mediator, and therapist. He developed the High Conflict Personality Theory and has become an international expert on high conflict personalities. He is the creator of New Ways for Families, a cutting-edge program for divorcing families. High Conflict Institute, LLC, was co-founded by William A. Bill Eddy, LCSW Esquire, and Megan L. Hunter, who's a wonderful lady, MBA, to provide education and resources to professionals handling high conflict disputes and eventually to the general public. Now, his seminar participants have included, and I love this, I just want to tell everyone about this, his seminar participants have included lawyers, judges, mediators, managers, human resource professionals, business persons, healthcare administrators, college administrators, homeowners, association managers, and ombudsmen and others. And I'm telling you, when you are finished listening to this interview tonight and you check out these books and these websites, a brand new world will be introduced to you that could totally change your life and your families and generations to come, just because you will understand something that's been going on in your life and perhaps the lives of others all along, but you just couldn't put your finger on what it was. And I will give you a little description of what high conflict people sound like. High conflict people are not just difficult. they are the most difficult people because they become preoccupied with a target of blame, usually someone close to them, such as a spouse, a relative, a neighbor, a coworker. Is anyone out there relating to this? And in a position of authority, anybody in a position of authority, a boss, a doctor, an administrator, a government official, managing high-conflict people, which Bill refers to as HCPs, usually involves using skills which are the opposite of what one feels like doing, and I believe that's called taking the high road. Learning these skills takes time and practice, but can make an amazing difference in resolving, managing, and continuing high-conflict disputes. And it is a goal and a mission of Bill and Megan. They are committed to changing the culture of conflict from one of all-or-nothing solution, good and bad people, and shame and blame, to a culture of mutual empathy, attention, and respect for all people, while teaching new skills, assertively setting limits, and containing truly dangerous behaviors. And I'm going to be very transparent in this interview this evening and share about some of what I just said, the dangerous behaviors, high-conflict people. They don't know that they're high-conflict people, and they don't know that they don't know that they're high-conflict people. They do truly believe that it's everyone else's fault. And I'm going to now read to you from Tobias's bio just a bit. And, you know, I'm extremely excited about this show. I truly am, and you will find out why in a few minutes. Tobias Desjardins, LCSW, is a director of Prevention Network. He is also a private child custody mediator, parent coordinator, special master, and licensed therapist specialized in working with high-conflict people. Tobias sees clients through his private practice offices in Palm Springs, Hemet, and Redlands, California. Before moving to Southern California in 2000, Mr. Desjardins was the executive director of Trillium Family Resources, a Canadian nonprofit based in Montreal, Canada. Under Mr. Desjardins' 5 years of leadership, Trillium Family Resources worked closely with the Canadian Justice Department and developed a model program targeted at reducing crime by constructively engaging high-conflict families. From 2000 to 2005, Mr. Desjardins was a member of Riverside County Department of Mental Health Crisis Psychiatric Team, working primarily with high-conflict families where a child adolescent was at risk of committing suicide. Tobias launched his private practice in Hemet, California, in 2003. Again, that website is whatiscoparenting.com. Again, the website for actually the High Conflict People in Legal Disputes and highconflictinstitute.com. That's William Eddy's website. And without further ado, I want to bring you on and have you just speak to our listeners, Toby and Bill, about this wonderful work that you're doing. And whoever wants to go first, it's fine. How did you get into this, and what is the passion behind it that drove you to create these wonderful new modes for alternative dispute resolution and that saving families and helping children grow up in a more normal lifestyle than they would have without you? So whichever one would like to go first, I'd love to hear what inspired you.
Well, I could dive in. I think I'm the older of the two of us, so I'll go by seniority or something like
seniority.
That. Even though I respect so much Toby's knowledge and commitment. I think for me, I've worked with children and families my whole life, primarily as a therapist. Then I became a family law attorney because I really liked helping people resolve legal disputes out of court. And so I got involved in mediation. But as I got involved in therapy and law, I started realizing that the people that keep legal disputes going, it's really more of a mental health issue. Yeah. And I had studied and learned to work with in counseling people with personality problems and really with empathy and compassion. And what I found, we got into the legal system, is nobody understood them. And in fact, they gave a lot of attention to them and actually escalated a lot of their disputes. And kids, of course, got caught in the middle. And so in working with divorce law, et cetera, I realized if we don't figure out what's driving these disputes, we're really going to be making things so much worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you said it right, Kate, and that is that this really is life-changing information in all areas of life, personal life, work life, dealing with authorities, dealing with intimate others, is it really is understanding the patterns to people's personality behavior, especially the high-conflict personalities, gives you a chance to deal with them, to either manage them or at least protect yourself if you need to. So that's how I got into this, working with kids, working as a therapist, then working in law, and it all came together.
That's fantastic. I'm just really, really impressed with all that you have going on. And, you know, on that note, I'd like to give out the website for New Ways for Families. I just visited that and watched your little video there. And, you know, I just feel so happy that you're doing what you're doing and that Toby's doing what he's doing and Megan's there, you know, spearheading that with you. NewWaysForFamilies.com. It's NEWWAYS, the number 4, FAMILIES.com. NewWaysForFamilies.com, and that's with the number 4. So if you're poking around the internet right now, go ahead and click on that and take a look. I'm incredibly excited about this. And Toby, if you'd like to now speak about what inspired you, that would really be great, because the two of you in tandem are like a team made in heaven, and especially for children. So go ahead and let us know what was your inspiration to do this work.
Well, like Bill, I've worked with children for a long time and with their parents. And over the last nine, and usually with the more difficult cases, somehow I've gravitated towards the more difficult cases. And over the last 9 years or so, that my counseling practice has sort of shifted towards being very focused on parents in custody disputes or dealing with recent separation or divorce or pending separation or divorce. And that I had almost a seminal case that I was dealing with maybe 6 or 7 years ago. It was just this extraordinarily high conflict case, and it came through the office that I was working at, and my supervisor said, well, this is probably a case for Toby, and I looked at it, and even though I was very interested in high conflict at the time, as I read it and realized that this wasn't just a high conflict case, this was sort of a train wreck, War of the Roses type case, I realized that I was out of my league, and looked for someone who I could refer this to, and it turned out that nobody wanted the case, at least that was local, and the folks said, you know, which happens oftentimes happens in high conflict cases, that they've burned through all of their resources after several years. And I ended up taking the case and trying my best, but it really opened my eyes to how high conflict in custody disputes is profoundly damaging to kids in ways that I wasn't aware of at the time. And so I ended up digging into a lot of research, doing a lot of training, meeting wonderful people like Bill and others, and developing Prevention Network. And at the time, you mentioned that I was working on a crisis psychiatric team. And I always felt that I was at the bottom of the waterfall with life rings swimming around trying to fish these kids and these parents out of the pool, you know, and they were disoriented and totally dazed. And Prevention Network, really, just like the title says, I really wanted to get upstream and start doing stuff before they went over the falls. And so Prevention Network really is all about that, promoting peace within the family, between the parents, upstream, when specifically focused on co-parenting. Now that we're separated or divorced, how are we going to do it? It was going to be hard when we were together. How are we going to do it now that we're apart? And if we're in a high conflict dispute, you know, in a bitter war.
Right.
So that's what I'm up to.
Right, and that's wonderful. And I'd like for you to just share with our listeners from your expertise, Toby, if you would. What is some of the profound damage that's done to the children who are dazed and confused by the high conflict between their mother and father?
Well, it's really the usual things, the usual suspects. And it has a lot to do with age, I think that the seeds for the real problems are, you know, laid when the kids are earlier. If the kids are 6 or 7 or 5, you know, they might still be, you know, looking very good. And sometimes, and actually I talk about this in the workshop, that sometimes kids become, you know, they all they want to do is good. And parents sometimes can be confused by this. They say, well, you know I've been in this, you know, 5-year long dispute, and it's, you know, the kids have testified, we have lawyers for the kids, we have all this stuff, but my kid's perfect, she gets A's. And I explain that there's this sort of phenomenon, sort of I gotta be good phenomenon, which is, you know, I think in the kid's mind, maybe not even consciously, but in the kid's mind, saying to himself, wait, if daddy can send mommy away, or mommy can send daddy away, what if I'm not good? You know, and then kind of fast forward from you know, those younger years into the teen years, and the problems we would normally expect to see or could see with teens, you know, it can be that much worse. And running away, teen pregnancy, school dropout, problems with drugs, problems with crime, all of the things that you might, your kids might dabble with, the potential for it is times 10.
Increased by exponentially, right?
Exactly.
Right. And what I'm hearing is that the younger kids who are thinking, well, if mommy can send daddy away or daddy can send mommy away, then if I'm not a good child, then what will they do with me? That is immediately causing that child to become the good child syndrome, it seems like, and then they lose their authentic self until maybe years later with therapy they recover their authentic self. But there are, you know, this is perfect breeding ground for people pleasers and codependence and relationships gone amok because they don't have good modeling for what a healthy relationship is. And I'd like to just let our listeners know that Toby is also offering some free giveaways for our first three callers, actually. He's going to give away free pairs of tickets to your seminars for What is Co-Parenting. And because this is a global internet radio show, there are people who are not in Southern California. So for those who are in Southern California, you can go ahead and look on the website, whatiscoparenting.com, and choose some dates. If you call in, the first three callers, and you need these tickets or would like these tickets, feel a little bit of this education or a lot of it could help you in your life and in your children's life, even if you're not court-ordered to do so. It is a court-approved workshop, and each ticket has a $270 value, and if you call in, you're one of the three callers, you will get a pair of these tickets. And if you're not in Southern California, you can complete this court-approved program online at whatiscoparenting.com. So just know that those are available to you as well. And again, I'll let you know, the first five callers will receive one of Bill Eddy's books, plus his lovely It's Not About You coffee mug. And the first book is It's All Your Fault, 12 Tips to Managing People Who Blame Others for Everything. The second book is High Conflict People in Legal Disputes. And the third book is Splitting, Protecting Yourself When Divorcing a Borderline or Narcissist. I happen to know through a lot of study and, you know, being a life coach and doing quantum hypnotherapy and being in the healing arts myself and fascinated with mental health and human nature, I happen to know that a lot of people who were abandoned as children get triggered as adults. When the word divorce comes up, they feel abandoned, they feel rejected. And, you know, if there's a personality disorder at play or within them, it will be called forth during this time of it feels like the end of the earth for these people. And all they know how to do is fight or flight and fight back, and they'll sabotage themselves and the children. And, you know, actually lose their homes because of legal fees just to fight and be right and to place blame and to prove that blame. And the children really are the fallout from this kind of a thing. And I know, Toby, that in your work I've read that anybody who goes to court for a divorce and has a high conflict dispute is looking to pay $30,000 each before all is said and done. Is that accurate?
Well, I don't know if anyone has it exactly down, but the number that I've heard most recently is in California that people are paying roughly that amount.
Right.
And Bill would probably know better.
Yeah, I would just add in, there's quite a range. Typically, I hear numbers like $40,000. I think of them going to 100,000 and even some cases go further. So the cost is just huge financially. That's the easy part to measure. The hard part is that long-term damage for the children. And I just did want to tack on to that a little more. Toby was talking about some of the current issues for the child, but also there's starting to be research coming out now of people in their 20s and the effect of high-conflict divorce on them. And what we're seeing is it's not only mental health problems, but also physical health problems. They get sick more. They have less resilience.
Yes.
And it's just, we're just starting to realize some of the long-term damage, I think, that's being done. And in terms of personality development, you talk about personality disorders, part of that is learned in childhood from extremes of thinking, seeing extremes of behavior, domestic violence, lying, manipulating, all those things. So we're almost teaching children to develop their own personality problems as adults, and it's a vicious cycle that does seem to be increasing.
Well, you know, all children belong to every one of us, I believe, and we all have a responsibility, in my opinion, to role model them healthy behaviors. And with that, if you'll both indulge me, I'd like to share a little bit about my background and why I'm just so thrilled that both of you are doing what you're doing on the planet, along with Megan, and all the great work that you're planning to do and the wonderful things to come. I was actually born spiritually wide awake to an atheist family. And just imagine what that was like, not being able to be my authentic self, having to be like everyone else to try to fit in and protect myself from harm. And it was an incredibly abusive situation, and it was incredibly high conflict. And it's not to place blame on anybody, it's just lack of education. Had my mother read any one of these books or taken your class, Toby, she would have not been with the man she was with. She would have handled it differently. She would have seen that her children's psyches were precious and should be protected. She didn't know any better. And because she didn't know any better, we were raised in an incredibly high conflict situation. And, you know, I just found myself as a child saying every time one of my siblings would beat me or a parent would beat me, my father died when I was 3 and there was a stepfather, and I would just say, I love you, why are you hitting me? I love you, why are you hitting me? And, you know, every time my stepfather went away for a week or a month or, you know, 6 months, I could breathe again. But then he would always come back because my mother didn't know any better than to let him come back. And there were 7 kids in my family. I'm the middle child. And honestly, after I got married and had my son, I was, I think, 28 years old. My older sister was just such a bully, and the reason she was is because she was beaten within an inch of her life, and I'm a witness to it, and I always had such compassion for her anger and her high-conflict personality, and it's absolutely, she couldn't escape it. She had no help, and one day when she was bullying me after I was married and had my own child, and I stood up for myself because she kept making obscene phone calls to me, and I didn't know that when you're dealing with a high-conflict person, I kept wondering what I was doing wrong, when actually I was just trying to stand up for myself. And I said to her one time, I said, I know it's you calling, and I'm going to request right now that you stop, or I will call the police. The next thing I know, and this is very transparent on my part, I don't know if there's anyone out there that ever experienced this, but if you did, you're not alone, and I'm writing a book about it. Next thing I know, within the hour, and this last call had happened like after 2 in the morning, around 3 in the morning, I hear screaming up and down my street, my name being said horrible things about to all the neighbors' houses out the window, and my mother was driving the car, and my sister was in the passenger seat, and my sister got out of her car, my mother's car, and took a baseball bat and broke the windshield out of my car and the headlights and screamed obscenities for at least another half an hour until someone called the police on her. And then, of course, she got away and never had any consequences for that. So, you know, I grew up in an atmosphere just like that, and as a grown-up, I'd had enough. So I moved away from all of that, and I got my life together. I got myself into therapy. I got myself to understand that what I experienced in my environment I grew up in is not who I am. And I reclaimed my authentic self, and I realized that I'm a generous, kind, caring person who only wants to bring peace to the world and impact the world in positive ways. So when I see people like you, Toby, you, Bill, and Megan, doing what you're doing out there, and all the fine attorneys and child advocates that there are, some of them I know personally, and I'm so pleased to know that they're out there. It's like knowing you're there, doing what you're doing, is reaching back in my childhood and saying, they're there, you're safe, it's okay. There really is hope for you. And, you know, as a stepmom, all I want to do is provide safety, peace, joy, happiness, and a wonderful carefree childhood for our children. And my own son is 27, and I'm still providing that for him as best I can. So from that position, knowing what I just shared and the stress that I grew up in and the trauma and the drama and the craziness and the high conflict, my pulse at rest is 91 today. And my cholesterol is a little wacky, not because I'm not healthy. I'm extremely healthy. I'm 124 pounds, 5 feet 7. I eat so healthy. I exercise all the time. I think good thoughts. Yet I've got issues in my tissues from being raised in a high-conflict family that keep my pulse going too fast. And I'm doing everything I can to bring my pulse rate to normal and to get my cholesterol back to where it belongs, because it's not health issues causing this. It's stress that's trapped inside my body. And as a grown-up, former child of high-conflict family, I can say right now as a testimony that there is hope, there is help, and if anyone out there is divorcing or separating or scared half to death because you're being abused by a spouse and you can't leave, there's hope for you. And I've also been, I am a thriver now, was a survivor of domestic abuse, and, you know, I've learned so much, and I know I came into this world to go through what I did because I was strong enough to go through it and carry forth a message of hope for others. Because, you know, today I am having the happiest childhood I could ever imagine for myself, and I'm so grateful for you all. And, you know, with that, I'll just, you know, leave open for some comments from either of you about anything you want to say about what I've shared.
Well, I guess I wanted to jump in. This is Bill, and just say what a story of resilience, how you really come through all of that and be able to really become someone who's thriving today. And I think that's such an important story for people to hear so that they know, even though what you've been through, you've been able to not only create your own, like you said, you're going through the best childhood now that you've created, but also for your own child. So I just think that's fantastic. It's just very touching, and I just, the encouragement to people is so important. So I really thank you for sharing that.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And, you know, I've been really excited about this interview tonight for all the right reasons for anyone out there listening. I know every time there's a show, whenever I feel compelled to have a guest on, the audience out there is calling to me through collective consciousness to have these people on, and I know whoever is listening, if they're suffering at all, I'm going to give some numbers right now. You don't even have to identify yourself to me, but I hope you'll call back the station and claim your free book and your wonderful coffee mug and your free passes to a workshop. The numbers to call toll-free worldwide is 888-815-9756. Again, toll-free worldwide, 888-815-9756. And line one, in case you can't get through, is 530-327-7602. Line two is 530-776-5185. Line three is 530-413-4511. And please do call in and claim your one of these fabulous books. And I'll tell you the titles again. It's All Your Fault, 12 Tips for Managing People Who Blame Others for Everything. And that covers the gamut of everywhere in life. High Conflict People in Legal Disputes, Splitting, Protecting Yourself When Divorcing a Borderline Narcissist. And Toby, did you want to comment on anything I shared?
Do.
I know that
I
Bill
do.
Did,
thank
and I really appreciate that.
Thank you. You know, it made me think. I second what Bill said about your resilience and your energy. If you have the chance to meet Katie in person, you'll see her incredible energy. Incredible energy. And it makes me think that there are many parents out there who are in custody disputes, or maybe grandparents who are trying, or friends, new step-parents who are, or new partners who are seeing, who've had your kind of experience where they've grown up with someone who was very high conflict, and when they see it begin in their custody dispute, or you know, maybe they've been divorced now for a few years and it's just been a lot of conflict, or they're a grandparent looking in on the conflict and trying to be helpful. If they've been through the ringer like you have with someone like that, they're often very distressed by it. You know, very, very almost like fearful of the conflict. Like you had said, it really pokes at your sort of deepest fears and some of maybe perhaps unresolved issues. And, you know, there are programs, our program is just one, but there are programs all over the country, excellent programs. And if you're in a custody dispute or you're, and by a custody dispute, what I mean is different from what an attorney means. What I mean is your divorce is over or it's almost over and you're having a hard time sharing custody. You know, you're fighting about who's going to do the laundry or what the pickup day is going to be or what time. And if the other person really just can push your buttons in ways that, you know, you'll be lying in bed thinking about it and seething over it. You know, there are programs out there that, and Bill's books, of course, that you can, access that will help you to be a more effective co-parent and less susceptible to that pressure. I mean, as a co-parent, hopefully, if you're in with a very difficult person, one of the keys is to have as little contact as you can. And communicate effectively, could be over the internet or other ways, but have as little contact as you can, because if that other person is going to treat you with respect, there's no sense in putting yourself in the line of that over and over.
I'd like you to tell our listeners about this wonderful service called OurFamilyWizard.com.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm not affiliated with them in any way, but it's a program that I always encourage people to look into. And it's an online, you know, in past, parents, we need to communicate with our former spouses as we're co-parenting. And if you can't speak to that person and without an explosion, in the past, there's been this model where you would have a logbook and write it and pass it at pickups and drop-offs. Well, some very smart folks at OurFamilyWizard.com developed this online way to do this. And not only can you have an online calendar and keep your co-parenting plan up there, but there's an online logbook where you can have all of your communications take place, non-emergency type communications take place. And what's nice about that is, it can't be erased. None of the stuff that you put on there can be erased. And so you can download that if you need to bring to a mediator or bring to your attorney or bring to court.
Or for a child advocate to get a look at.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
and we have a caller. Caller, are you there? Hello? Hi, what's your name?
Allison.
Hi, Allison. And did you have a question for Bill or Toby?
You know, I actually do. I've been trying to get divorced for over 16 months now with a high conflict individual. I actually have the book Splitting. In mediation, the mediator took me aside and encouraged me to purchase the book. And my question is, I was reading about the don't force the children to go with the other parent. I have three children, and one right now is not going to see him. And my question is, when you're in this kind of situation, there's a lot of emotional abuse going on, and at what point does that child just need to cope and be with that parent? At what point does that child stay away from that parent?
Bill or Toby, what, if either of you want
to? Yeah, I'll comment on that, because I think you're talking about my article about don't use force, and it's force in quotes. And it's about the idea of what happens if the children don't want to go. And I believe it's so important to have a relationship with both parents, even if there's a parent who's a not good parent or even an abusive parent who may have supervised contact or various restrictions, is children have a relationship in their head with that other parent regardless. And so what I find it's helpful to try to work towards where they're going to be having some kind of contact, certainly safe contact, so that the solution as a child, even as a teenager, isn't to eliminate someone from their lives. And that's not going to be an option in adulthood in many situations, employment, neighbors, etc. So I think it's a problem to work on. I don't think that people should be just hammered with here's the right answer or whatever, and there may be a period of time that a child has to take a break. But my concern is that children reinforce their feelings of anxiety by avoiding a problem rather than working with it directly, and parents have to be protective. So if parents are protective and professionals are protective, then it's going to be safe to have some level of relationship here with the child. So the child feels like, okay, I can deal with that person. You know, they're in a place in my life where I can deal with them and not have to give up being myself, I think, as Kate said, is to be your authentic self and have the family and professionals protecting you. So I think as a goal, but getting there may be a bumpy road, and it may still have some limitations to it.
Right, right. Allison, did you want to choose one of the books? I know you already have Splitting. Would you like to have one of the others, It's All Your Fault, 12 Tips to Managing People Who Blame Others for Everything, or High Conflict?
Absolutely. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
The High Conflict People in Legal Disputes, or It's All Your Fault?
I think we better put the legal disputes since I'm still in the middle of it, yes.
Okay, the High Conflict People in Legal Disputes?
Yes,
okay. And
you
also get a coffee mug, right, Bill?
Yes, whichever you want.
I thought the coffee mug came along with the book.
It's, sure.
Can we do that? I think Allison needs a coffee mug. And it says on the coffee mug, not about you.
Right, when you're personally attacked, it's not about you. Definitely, Allison should get a coffee mug. So
Thank you. So, Allison, would you, after you hang up, call back the station and give them your full name, address, and phone number so I can pass that along to the people to mail that out to you?
Absolutely, and I just so appreciate your comments. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you
for calling.
Okay.
Actually, Kate, can I jump in and add a couple things that I wanted to a few minutes ago?
Sure.
Okay. It's one of the things you said when you were explaining your own experience is that really is important for people to know, is the lack of knowledge that people have in families, that parents have, et cetera. There's so much just not knowing how to deal with a difficult or abusive other parent, and so much isolation is people feel afraid to reach out to get information. And today we have so much information, so many resources, so many people who do understand. And I think you're doing such a service to the public, Kate, by sharing this kind of information and letting people know there is hope, you're not alone, and here's some things to do. A couple things I wanted to add with that is people generally don't understand how unconscious high-conflict behavior is, whether it's by parents, coworkers, neighbors, bosses, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so they take it personally. And that's why the coffee mug's so good. It's not about you is such an important message. And I remind myself every morning when I go to work,
mm-hmm.
when people are going to attack me, and in my work people often do, is it's not about me, and I can help them, and I can kind of get past that defensiveness. Another thing that's so helpful is to realize often the opposite of what you feel like doing is what helps. So when you really feel like confronting somebody angrily, sometimes connecting with them with respect will diffuse things.
Right.
On the other hand, sometimes someone you just totally fall head over heels for. You just couldn't find a more charming person on the planet. Maybe someone that's really not what they seem.
Yes.
So it's so important, I think, for people to realize that it's checking themselves, not always doing what they feel, but in the long run, getting other people's input before taking some actions and trying to resist the impulse, because often the impulse is what we regret afterwards. So I just
want
to
say that's called knee-jerk, isn't it?
Yes, very much. Knee-jerk reactions. Often we spend months making up for the minute of knee-jerk reaction we had, and we have to fix it and clean up afterwards. So
absolutely. And, you know, as far as you were saying about someone who seems absolutely charming, you couldn't find anyone kinder on the planet. Well, that was my domestic abuse partner. I got married when I was 17 to get away from my family and mm-hmm. stepped right into the clutches of a more high-conflict person than my family was. And he seemed like the most charming person in the world. He said, I see you getting abused here all the time. Your stepfather's trying to get you to marry him. You know, I want to get you out of here, and I'll marry you until you're 18, and then I'll divorce you and let you free. And I believed him. And he was a family friend, and the minute that I married him, I'll be transparent here again, he raped me on our wedding night, and I was a virgin, and beat me till I had to go to the hospital about twice a month, and that went on for 8 months until I finally escaped. I jumped out a three-story window with a sheet filled with my clothes to land on and a taxi waiting down the street. And he came out on the ledge of the apartment window planning to jump to chase me. And he saw me get in the cab and take off, and he couldn't catch me. And the legal aid helped me get a divorce without his consent. So that's how I escaped that. And to this very day, he would be in my face if he knew where I was. You know, I had to change all kinds of personal information about myself to be rid of that. So please, listeners, you know, and you don't know who's a high-conflict person until you see them in a high-pressure situation. And
right.
It's like they're the best people in the world, and then all of a sudden they get triggered. Some trauma gets triggered in them, and then before you know it, they become someone you do not recognize, period. And you're at that point, it's a little bit too late. But if you spend time getting to know a person and try to be in every situation you can with them before, you know, getting engaged or getting married or doing what I did, find out how they behave in a high-conflict situation, in a high-pressure situation, in an emergency. You know, if they lose their mind and go crazy and start cussing everybody out, that's a cue to, you know, run away and take care of yourself. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, it's not normal behavior. And what we find is we tolerate extreme behavior by those we love because we think it's just going to pass, or it's something we did, or it's something we can fix. And that's so important to understand about personalities, because personalities are pretty much the way they're going to be and the way they've always been, except for people really working on themselves. And
right.
So that
and
means
just
that
to make another note of my running off with this person and getting married, hoping he would free me when I was 18, I was set up to do that in my childhood by being exposed to high conflict situations between my mother and my stepdad and my siblings. That completely set me up for that. I'm not blaming it on them at all. I know that it was my choice, and I was so desperate that I did a thing like that. And it was things like that that got me into therapy. And I didn't even know that there was any support or help. When I was a child, I'd go to the principal, I'd go to the police, I ran away from home. They would always take me back. They would tell me nobody would do to their child what I told them was done to me because it's hideous, and it will be in a book called Huckleberry Memoirs. And it's just awful when people out there don't want to get involved and won't help. And it's a new time now. It's a new age now. It's a new day now. Children have rights. They have more rights than they ever did. And high-conflict people are masters at creating negative advocates. They will trick and charm any inexperienced professional that they sit in front of into believing their story, becoming emotionally involved, and almost harming themselves and their own careers to help that person, and they don't even know that they are doing it. Do you have something to say about that, either you, Toby, or Bill? about training.
I actually want to, maybe if I could take that and go back to Allison for a second. I know she's gone, but that was actually one of the things that I wanted to suggest to her, was that, you know, what she's talking about is visitation resistance. The child is not wanting to visit. And, you know, there are some good articles that have been written over the last few years on how to parse out the various reasons why a child might not want to want to visit. And so, you know, Allison, if you want to email me, I'd be glad to link you up with those articles. And that leads to the next point I wanted to make, which is, when you're choosing, if you're dealing with these complicated issues, when you're choosing a therapist or a mental health professional or a legal professional, you need to make sure that they really have this kind of knowledge. And I think that, I'm not sure if Bill keeps a directory of people who are trained in attend his trainings, but that would be a great place to check with. And,
we have
in
some.
Terms, you do, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, we have some that are listed from different parts of the country who've taken
Excellent.
Our seminar, but it's very small right now, and we certainly encourage therapists to contact us and take our trainings and get on those lists, because
right.
you're absolutely right. People need to understand this. Go ahead.
Right. And the parents, I think, are the ones. I always say in the workshops that I think the most important person for untangling a custody mess is the parent. We can't leave it up to anybody. We can't leave it up to all of the so-called experts. And, you know, yes, you need to choose some experts at times, but you need to become an expert yourself. And so reading some of these things, and when you do choose a therapist, I think that you have to choose carefully. Bill has created, over the last year or so, really an outstanding program that's so needed, called New Ways for Families. And hopefully that's going to be spreading around the country. And it's focused on how do you work with folks who have these high conflict problems, either as someone who's been struggling with one or someone who maybe is one. How do you get them some counseling that really helps them and really helps their court case become more clear to the people who have to make decisions about what's really going on?
Is it true, Toby, that, sorry to interrupt you, is it true, Toby, that a high-conflict parent will perhaps cause parent alienation with their child because they are demanding their loyalty against the other parent?
Well, it's a complicated term, and it's one that's thrown around a great deal. And it's a very nuanced concept. But I think that...
Isn't that a factor in child visitation resistance?
Sure, but I mean, yeah, absolutely. And the thing with alienation is it's one of these terms that really kind of fuels the court part of the dispute, which isn't an area that I work in. I work in the
resolution.
Help get it reorganized.
Right.
Let me actually add some comments here, because I do deal with the alienation issue a lot with court cases as an attorney, and I also deal with it some as a mediator. Now I'm just doing mediation, no longer doing the court cases, but the program that Toby just mentioned that I've developed, and his input has been invaluable with that, so I really want to thank you publicly with that, Toby, is part of it's designed to help prevent not only abuse but also alienation. So let me briefly describe how it's structured, if that's okay.
Sure.
It's two
We've
types
got
of
3 minutes left for the Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I told you it would go by fast.
Okay,
so
I'll go real quick.
Okay.
It's really two steps of counseling as early as possible in the case, where each parent has an individual counselor they meet with for 6 sessions to focus on 3 skills that are conflict-reducing skills: flexible thinking, managed emotions, moderate behaviors. Then they meet with the parents and children separately with another counselor for 3 sessions, teach the children those skills, and discuss how they're going to maintain those types of behaviors and how they're going to support each other as parents. And there's more information, as you mentioned, on the New Ways for Families website, and you can also go to our High Conflict Institute website and get information about it. But what's so important with this is that we don't take sides and decide who's the bad parent, who's the alienating parent, or who's the abusive parent, is we look at each parent learning these skills and working on their own problems. So if there is a parent who's done domestic violence, they work on their domestic violence. We don't just remove them from the child's life because
right.
there's such a range of relationships to deal
right.
with. So the structure of this is specifically to try to prevent alienation as well as other high conflict issues.
Wonderful. Thank you for interjecting that, Bill. That was very, very helpful. And before I forget, I just want to offer Allison, because I promised a couple of tickets for Toby's workshop, either to be done online, because I don't know where Allison is, Southern California or where. And, you know, that would be for you and your new partner or you and your soon-to-be ex-husband to attend an either online workshop or an in-person workshop. And that would be included with your legal dispute, high-conflict people and legal disputes, and your coffee mug, Allison. So when you call back the station with your information, be sure to let us know if you're in need of any of those things. And also, about the negative advocates, if we could talk just a little bit for about 60 seconds on that, who would like to expound on negative advocates? Because for everyone listening, you know, it's like I could see that being from the environment I was, that I was completely trained to be a high-conflict personality, and I am just so thankful that I pulled up on the controls and did not crash and burn. And, you know, there are things that are clues and cues that a person is a high-conflict person, and they don't even know it. It is a very unconscious thing. And what are some of the clues of high-conflict personality, Toby or Bill, that you could share with our listeners that would be the key warning signs that maybe they should get your book or take this class?
Well, in terms of negative advocates, and noticing high-conflict people, the three things I think are the easiest is inflexible, rigid, all-or-nothing thinking a lot of the time. Unmanaged emotions, where people are overreacting, way out of proportion to what's going on. And extreme behaviors, lying, manipulating, stealing, hitting, verbal abuse, etc. That those are patterns of behavior that 80% or more of people don't engage in on a regular basis. So when you're dealing with someone like that, high-conflict personality, there's a good chance. The negative advocates could be anybody. They don't have to have a high-conflict personality. They're hooked into the person's way of thinking, and they join them in picking on a target of blame. And my experience in a lot of high-conflict court cases is there's always a negative advocate. It may be a neighbor, family member, might be an attorney, might be another professional. And the key is that...
Might be the mother-in-law.
Pardon?
Might be the mother-in-law.
Quite
former
possibly.
Mother-in-law.
All of us have been a negative advocate at some time or another and usually not realized it at first. It's being emotionally hooked in but uninformed. And the way to deal with negative advocates is help them get informed. Don't attack them. Help them get informed. And then they often calm down or even leave the situation.
And realize that maybe there's a better way to do things.
Yeah.
That's the ideal.
All three of my books, I talk about negative advocates in there. So it's
great. Wonderful. And that's available on your website as well, correct?
Yes.
Let me give that website again. And it's because we're up at the last minute of our Spiritual Hollywood Hour, highconflictinstitute.com. That's William A. Bill Eddy, LCSW Esquire, and Tobias Desjardins of whatisco-parenting.com. And I must say thank you from the bottom of my heart for the great work you're doing for all of us and for training the judges and the professionals out there who are inexperienced with high-conflict personalities so that we can clean up family court and stop clogging up the system and using up valuable energy, resources, and children to create a better world and impact, you know, a new world. And it is a new world, and I believe 2012 is a new consciousness, not the end of the world. It's the beginning of the world. And I want to thank you both profusely for being my guest this evening. It has been my honor to have you on, and I'm very excited to see what's coming next for both of you. And remember, everybody listening, and thank you, listeners, and I know not everyone called in, and if it's okay with you, Bill, and okay with you, Toby, how about the first three people, Toby, that come to you for a class that say they heard about it on Spiritual Hollywood, that you will honor those tickets. And the same for you, Bill. The first, no, now it's going to be four people that come to your website and say they heard about you on Spiritual Hollywood, that they will get one of your books. Would that work?
Then let us know.
Okay, terrific.
And I think we, yeah. Fantastic. And thanks so much for the work you're doing in informing and educating people as well, Kate.
You're welcome, Bill. Thank you both for being with me. And I believe that our conversation was so compelling that more people didn't call in. So that's a good sign. Have a good night, everybody. And remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. So get busy to live the life that you were born to lead. Good night.